sense yourself, but you probably don't know Brother Moses. Memberships in Carson County, they up in Walton Heads.
I'm glad to be with you all the time. So right now, I'm glad to be where I am. But I trust that I can, in my heart, count it a privilege to speak in the name of God at any time. The brother was speaking of love, and I believe it's impossible for that inner being in each individual to hate one another. Anytime we find hatred, it comes from the outer man, the natural. There is no hate, there is no sin in that which is born of God. As the brother was saying, we heard quite a bit said last night concerning the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of glory. I try to, and I do, endorse as much as I can scripturally when I hear God's ministers speak. I have thought of myself as being quite bad, if it is bad, to be a sermon picker, but I have thought that it would be good if all of God's children would be sermon pickers when the gospel is being preached. We do not want anything that is not in harmony with us, saith the Lord. The Apostle Paul teaches us, he said, if we are an angel from heaven, come unto you speaking any other gospel than that which ye have heard, let him be accursed. Now, I believe we ought to do that. Not that we might be contrary one to the other, just to be spiteful, but that we might continue for that which is true, because that is what that's the only thing that will do us any good, is the truth. I trust if I say anything that's contrary to what the apostle preached, that you won't have it. I don't want you to have it. It's not good. But the apostles preached the truth. They preached what the Lord Jesus Christ inspired them to preach. I'm confident that they didn't preach a lie. Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. And he shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God. He preached it like it is. And we like it that way. I thought that I wanted to read a little portion in 1 Peter, starting with the 20th verse, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, 20th verse. I noticed that the brother got a little mark on that particular scripture. It was spoken of last night concerning our suffering. And I know that it's good for us to suffer. I know that it humbles God's people to be brought under the rod. God does that himself. So let us, well, we might pick up right about the 18th verse. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the faithful. That's pretty hard to do if we're in the flesh. In fact, we just can't handle it if we're in the flesh. For this is thankworthy if a man, for conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, if I'm accused of being innocent and I suffer that thing, that's well pleasing in the eyes of God. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. This is acceptable with God. Certainly we want our service, our offering up, to be acceptable unto God. But as I said, it's a hard matter. In fact, we have to have the Spirit of God. We have to be indicted with the Spirit of God in order that we do that. That we suffer wrongfully. That we suffer being innocent. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Leaving us an example. Now, I don't suppose, I'm reasonably sure, that we will never suffer as the Lord suffered. But we must suffer. He left us an example of suffering. And I remember the apostles, Paul, he said he thanked God that he was counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. That he was counted worthy to suffer. So then, because Christ also suffered without leaving us any devil, that ye should follow his step. That ye should follow his step. Now, we taught again, I believe we mentioned last night, if we live godly, we must suffer. If we live godly, we will suffer here in this world. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he entreated not, but submitted himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's God the Father that judgeth righteously. You know Job, when he was afflicted, and his friends came to him to comfort him, Job, there was a time when Job couldn't find him. His friends told him, he said, turn yourself over to God and pray unto him and he'll deliver thee. And now Job said he went back when he couldn't find him, he went forward and couldn't find him. He said, oh, that I might find him, that I might take up my argument with him. Job couldn't find him, but he had in his heart of that grace of God and that love of God and that confidence in God. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he said, if I die yet in my flesh, thus shall I see God. Job, he continued in the faith. Job continued steadfast in righteousness, as far as man can do righteous, even whenever he was afflicted heavily. But he said, I know my Redeemer lived. I know my Redeemer. Now, if he hadn't known that, I don't think he would have went through all of that he did and took it like he did. These brothers that came to him and was trying to set him straight and was trying to get him in a comfortable condition if he would only do what they said. If he would give his heart to God and if he would call upon God, then he would He would lift his burden up. But you know, Job, he knew what these brothers knew, but they didn't know what Job knew. And you know, they told him a lot of truth. They told him about the God of heaven. Sure they did. They told him that God could do all things. And you know, and if we hadn't learned better by the Spirit of the Lord, we'd have thought, well, surely they was right. But on the last part, God told them that they hadn't answered him, or they had spoken righteously as his servant Job had spoken. So, you know, but now then, we have them comfort us today if we just listen to them. But you know, I'm glad that we have the wisdom and knowledge from God that we know when we hear the truth that it is in Christ Jesus. Basically, we understand that God does not, that we can't put God in a position to bless us. Why, certainly not. That's got to come from God. Now then, it was mentioned last night concerning a revival. You know, now we might misunderstand, as the brother was saying, what revival is. But now, you know, I don't believe that I can bring a revival upon God's people. Oh, certainly not. If that had been so, I believe Isaiah, I would have prayed to his brethren. But he prayed to God for revival, that he might be revived. And I want you to know, as far as revival is concerned, I believe I can be revived out there in a field somewhere. I believe I can be revived individually or collectively. God can revive us. But you know, we don't have the ability to bring about no revival. But now I'm certainly interested in being revived. I'm certainly interested in you being revived. I'm certainly so. But on the other hand, I don't believe God set up his church here in the world and left it in the hands of man to keep. He set it up and he cares for it and he keeps it as an apple of his eye. So then I think we find that concerning that as he done Jacob. I think that was a time there. He led him about. Don't you know? The Lord needs to be before us, and not us before the Lord. He is the one that does the blessing. He is the one that has the ability, the power. As it was mentioned last night again, I don't want to be too picky, but I want to be picking up. As far as teaching, as far as me teaching my children to know the Lord, I can't do that. Certainly not. We find that Jesus said, "You shall not go about teaching your brother or your neighbors to know the Lord, for they shall all be taught of me, from the least to the greatest." If I could teach my children to know the Lord, then I wouldn't have a whole lot of need for the Lord when it comes to teaching. But after God indicts not only my children, but any person, after he indicts the heart and takes up his abode in that vessel, you can teach him about God. But you know, they already know God because God is in them. And therefore you can teach them about God. And I think it's our duty to teach them about God. I think that's what this is all about. To teach about God and not to try to teach nobody who God is. I could tell a dead-aging sinner, a person who hadn't been born to the Spirit of God, I could tell him all day and all night who God is. And he wouldn't know any more after I got through than he did before I started, because there is nothing but darkness there. There is no light in there, spiritually speaking. But now then, when we talk to a spiritual being, when that when that faith flows from breast to breast, that means God is in this one, and God is in that one, and He abodes there, and therefore He also teaches, and He judges His people in righteousness, that they might know. Now then, I don't believe. Far as repentance is concerned, I understand that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance, and I think that was brought forth last night, as far as that is concerned. But now God's people is going to repent. He's not going to let you alone until you do repent. God didn't ever give up on any of His children, as far as chastising them until repentance come. He didn't give up on Pharaoh, did he? No, I'm certain not. He worked on him. I'm sure it pleased him to make him know that he is God and there's none else. This great God of heaven, he said, I'm God and I change not. And therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. But did you ever look at the life of the sons of Jacob? They lived a pretty rough life. But they don't be concerned. Why? Because they're God's people. They belong to God. And they was His before they were ever born into this world. I suppose that we say that's a hard doctrine. Who can hear it? That you was God before the foundation of the world. Before this world ever laid. You was in the bosom of your Father. You was always God's, and you will forever be God's. Did you know that a person has nothing to do with the birth? I didn't have anything to do with my natural birth. I didn't have any say who was going to be my father and who was going to be my mother before I was born into this world. So it is with the Spirit. We don't have any say in it. God, He redeemed His people even before many of us ever born into this world. And they're not all born into this world yet. But what is the fruit of the earth unto the Lord? It's His people. Certainly it is. He said he waits patiently for the fruit of the earth for the early and the latter rain. Other words, for the people that were born in the beginning and them that will be born on the last. God is patiently waiting for the fruits of the earth, and precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of the saints. That sounds so good to us from a natural standpoint. We never get ready to give up a loved one, but if we can only see beyond that thing and see what it means, and not only to the one that's taken, if it so be a child of God, but even God goes in precious in the sight of the Lord on the death of His saints. So then it must be a great thing for the pass from this life into that life to come. The Apostle Paul, I believe he's seen some of that. When he was raised up to the third heaven, he saw things that wasn't lawful for man to utter, and I think he had some of those things that we're patiently waiting for. That's the hope that we have not seen. We do with patience wait for it, which is that eternal life that God gives you because He loved you. We might say sometimes it's a hard thing to understand why God loves sinners. But let's look. Seeing that you was God's already, and God loved you from the foundation of the world, before the world ever was. God loved you with an everlasting love. I think Jeremiah speaks of that. God loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness has He drawn thee. I think that's reading you here today. I think it draws you here today, that loving kindness of God Almighty that takes it into your heart and in your soul, and therefore it makes you love one another spiritually. I don't believe you're going to have to worry about spiritual brethren hating one another, but when we have trouble, you trace it back, you'll find it comes from the outer man. Why, certainly, the first Adam, which is the earthy, therefore, there is no unrighteousness in God. There is no unrighteousness in that incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. Oh, I'm certainly not. That don't die. That don't die. But it goes to God who gave it. So he says, who his own self by our sins in his own body. He didn't bear our sins in somebody else's body. He bore our sins in his own body. And that was a body that God his Father prepared for him to take upon him when he came to this earth, that he might be seen by his brethren here in this world. You know, you couldn't see his spirit. You can't see his spirit. So he had to have that natural body in this earth. And God prepared it. He said, a body shall thou prepare me. A body shall thou prepare me. And that's what went to the grave. And that's what the Father raised, and that's what went back to God. So he says, who his own self bare our own sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, not offered to be healed. God never did that so far ago. God never did try to do anything. He never did try to heal nobody. But he healed people. He healed them every bit. He didn't just make them better. He healed them. Certainly, I think the woman was mentioned last night that had the issue of blood all that long. And you know, as it was said, she spent all of her substance and rather than getting better, she got worse. And she knew because God was working in her at the same time that he was walking. You know, he said, and she said, if I was to the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. How did she know that? Not by the natural being, not by the natural mind, but by the spiritual mind that God gave her. And therefore, you know, a virtue went out of the Lord and healed her. Every whit, every bit, she was plumb healed. There wasn't even any sign of that issue of blood. You know, that's a great God. Certainly it is. Whenever he came to apostles out on the sea and it was rough, and he rebuked the wind and the waters, and they were stilled. And you know, it said, what manner of man is this that can speak to the winds and the waves and they be still? What manner of man is this? That is the God of heaven. If you want to think about what God is, God is power, wisdom, understanding, and love. God is, in first place, God is love. And that's what we said something about this morning. Love. Whenever we speak of love, spiritual love, we speak of the Father. And that's where all spiritual love come from, is from God. Certainly, he says, well, we were as sheep going astray. We were as sheep. I want you to notice that you don't ever find in the scriptures where God's people were spoken of as goats. Certainly not. They were always spoken of as sheep. When an offspring of a sheep comes forth, it's a sheep to start with. It's a sheep, seed of a sheep. That's why it's a sheep. He says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And likewise, he brought you back. And you know, being in this world, you know, concerning the Jews and the Gentiles, Paul's speaking of the middle wall. He said the middle wall of petition is broken down. Now then, but the Jew and Gentile can worship God in spirit and in truth. Them that has the knowledge, there is some Jews, I believe, I know, that has this knowledge and understanding that Christ has already come and has already redeemed his people out from under the curse of that law. But there is the news as a whole, you understand. I don't believe that he's come yet. I don't know what kind of feeling that would be, but I guess if I felt that way, I'd just feel that way and wouldn't know how to feel no other way. But now that I'm glad that God had mercy on the Gentiles also, and sent this gospel mostly to the Gentiles, if I understand right. And the Apostle Paul was a minister to the Gentiles, and the Apostle Paul, he was a man that God raised up for that purpose, and he was a man that loves God's people. He's a man that loved God, and he always, bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he always manifested love for the church and for God's people in this world. He spent his life, if the best I can tell, after he was tripping down on the road to Damascus, worshiping, serving God, or worshiping, serving God's people, and that word worshiping, serving God. When he served God's people, he was serving God. He knew that, and we know that. The Father said, "The Lord, he says, whatsoever you do unto me, you the least of these mine, you've done it unto me." Whenever we wash a brother's feet in the Spirit of God, we wash his same as washing the Lord's feet. And that's something great, if you want to think about it. That's something great if we get to wash our Lord's feet. Or we even get down at the Lord's feet. That the woman that washed his feet with tears and dried them on the hairs of her head. She was a woman that God cast seven devils out of. Now that woman, I don't know how bad she was, but God cast them out. But I asked God, cast them devils out. She was a lover of God. It takes a lot of tears to wash a person's feet, and it takes long for the hair to dry a person's feet. This is a beautiful picture. We ought to be down at our brother's feet, as the brother spoke. If we love one another, everything else will fall in place, and it certainly will. But the trouble we have is with this old natural being. That's where the trouble comes from. It's never from the Spirit of God, because that's love. That's love all that. It never ceases to be love. May God bless you, my friend.